Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning's sermon text is taken in part from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 23, which reads, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things." Well, Happy New Year once again, everyone. As we begin the new year, a lot of people plan on accomplishing many things because a new year kind of represents new beginnings, new possibilities, new friends, maybe better bodies, or career opportunities. But also the new year represents another year closer to our Creator. Another year closer to His return. If you are one to write down New Year's resolutions, is Jesus number one on your list? A believer's spiritual growth should always be the top priority in our lives. Because no matter what your circumstances, we still have to fight. We have to fight the worldly influence. We have to fight Satan. We have to fight our own fleshly nature. So our spiritual growth is important. The goals that we should set should not only be aligned to make us happier, but rather holier. God, He expects improvement in our lives, which is the basis that Jesus taught this parable. So I want to begin my reading in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. And look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler of many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Two points of application I want to speak about today. First, it's each of our own responsibility to be a faithful servant to God. Second, being faithful over a few things can carry over into many things. First, it's each of our own responsibility to be a faithful servant to God. The parable starts off reading, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country." That man, he represents Christ going to heaven. And his servants represent his followers whom he entrusted with his resources. In the parable, the man gives money, which are talents, to the 3 servants. And hypothetically, the talents can represent any of God's blessings that He may bestow upon each of us, such as natural abilities, our unique gifts or traits, or even the time we have. The Bible Concordance describes them as spiritual treasures or spiritual investments. And God, He didn't give us these unique blessings for nothing, but to share them and to cultivate them and to be profitable for Him. Psalms 84:11 reads, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly, those who use their God-given abilities for His glory." In the parable, two of the three servants immediately went to work for the man. They didn't know when he was going to return, so they started right away becoming profitable for the man. As we apply this to ourselves, we need to take advantage of the opportunities that God presents us. So, question is, how are you going to take advantage of 2018? Our time on earth is limited, and we don't know when Christ will return. So let this new year move you to become successful God's way. But first and foremost is the most important decision you could ever make: the decision to receive Christ in your life. Did you ask God for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you believe upon and put your trust and faith in the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Will you let Him lord over your life and become profitable for God? If you are an unbeliever in my hearing, I urge you to make the decision for Christ before it's too late. James 4:14 reads, "Or else you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Life is short, but eternity is forever. The parable also teaches us not to waste our opportunities that God presents. Don't let them pass you by. When those thoughts ring in your head that, you know, I should have done this or given that or said this, it's God speaking to you about a missed opportunity to follow His will. Psalm 90:12 reads, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Make the best use of our time. Sadly, the third servant in the parable wasted his opportunity and blew his responsibility to be a faithful servant. The third servant, also known as the unprofitable servant, he represents an unbeliever or a pretending believer. Yes, God gives us all natural gifts and abilities. And He also gives us all a revelation that He exists. The Apostle Paul, he addressed the ungodly people who suppress this truth. Romans chapter 1, 19 through 21 read, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." The opportunity is out there, and the opportunity is in here right now for unbelievers. The unprofitable servant, he was without excuse. He buried what the man had given him and did nothing with it. Just like many people out on the streets or even in our homes, that hear the gospel message, which is God offering sinful people eternal life through His Son Jesus, and they don't act on it. They just bury it. The unprofitable servant was content with his life, not realizing that one day he would have to give an account, just as we all do. In verse 26, the Lord called him a wicked and lazy servant. Believers, use this new year as a springboard for your faith. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What comes hand in hand with New Year's resolutions? Work. Work. That's why many people fail to keep them. The only time you ever see success before work is in the dictionary. The man in the parable gave the servants an opportunity to work for him. In the same sense, God gives believers that same opportunity to work unto the Lord, serving His will. When God commands us to do something, it's God's divine direction in our lives, reflecting God's holiness for man's highest good. The greatest worker of all time is God. And believers, we need to do our best to follow suit, following God's will and way for our lives. Have you ever seen those quotes that try to distinguish the difference between work and play? How some people, you just can't tell because they love what they do. Those are the people that I admire, that love what they do for a job. Well, God is growing an inner joy in you and I to do His will. And it won't feel like work, but it will become your passion. It will become your lifestyle. Your attitude may start off in the beginning as doing spiritually progressive things as like a have to, but over time it'll become a want to. You're going to want to serve the Lord. You're going to want to do what God commands us to do. He's getting rid of the old nature that is within us and replacing it with a new nature. He didn't put a bunch of live eggs on the dead chickens. Let's just say that. He wants us to serve His will. God expects His followers to grow and become profitable. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 read, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, excuse me, and to brotherly kindness, love." This leads me to the second application. Being faithful over a few things can carry over into many things. The man in the parable, he gave the men talents according to their abilities. And God gives us each unique gifts according to our abilities. None of us are equal in our God-given abilities. But in God, there is no impartiality. We are all equal, serving His purpose in one fashion or another. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8 reads, "Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free." Romans 8:28 reads, "And we all know that all things work together for good To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. There are many things going on in this world that don't glorify God. But what is the one thing that you can control to glorify God? You. Your life. Being faithful over many things starts off with being faithful over the one thing, such as yourself. Your life. To illustrate this point, I have a martial arts background, and many people's perspective of self-defense is to learn as many techniques as they can to defend themselves. However, the problem is they're not mastering any of them. Because when chances are they need to apply them, they won't work because they haven't mastered them. Then there are those who will learn like 5 techniques and master them. But if the right situation doesn't occur, then they can't apply them. What I was taught is you need to develop the one tool, which is your body, that carries out all the techniques. Your focus should be centered on one thing that can make a difference for all things. Now, spiritually speaking, we need to exercise a Christ-like godliness in all areas of our lives. But what is the one gift that God blessed you with that you could excel in? The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, he basically said, "Do not neglect the gift that is within you, but meditate on it, your progress in it, and give yourself entirely to it. Your progress will be evident to all." We as children of God are called to be imitators of God in all areas. And of course, we can't be great in everything. Only God is perfect. That's why we should do our best to simplify our lives. Many people have a long list of resolutions, but never accomplish any of them because there's too many. There's just too many. They can't pinpoint their focus. So just as the sermon's text states, we need to be faithful over a few things before trying to be faithful over many things. Let's look at I just want to give you an example. I want to give you an example of an Old Testament example, actually, Noah. Noah pleased God because he was a man of obedience. Noah did what God commanded him to do, which was to build an ark. God told Noah why this needed to happen. He said, "So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on earth. And God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.'" So God gave Noah the why. God gave Noah the provisions to make this happen. He gave Noah the strength. He gave Noah the ability. He gave Noah the know-how. The only thing left for Noah to do was to follow through on the one thing that God asked him to do, which was to build an ark. God will take care of the rest. God brought the animals to him. God established a covenant to never flood the earth ever again because of the one thing that Noah was faithful over, building the ark. Friends, the challenge today is to find a one or two spiritual gifts God has blessed you with and develop them. Do more of them. Maybe God has bestowed the gift of evangelism to you. Sharing the good news with others. Set a goal to do it more often. Set a goal, come out with Pastor James and I every 2 weeks and share the good news. But God wants us to keep progressing. So as we continue to get better and better and through God, make it do it more often. Go out every week. But set a goal. God may have blessed you with the gift of encouraging people, helping people become what God wants them to be. Set a goal to find opportunities to help people. Maybe God has blessed you with the gift of teaching. Use it to help people spiritually grow. Start off with your family, then work outwards from there. God wants us to continue to use our gifts that He has given us. Maybe God has blessed you with intercessory type gifts for prayer ministry. Set a goal to become a better prayer warrior. Start off with 10, 15 minutes a day in a room by yourself and pray out loud to God. Let Him hear your voice. But set a goal. As you continue to progress, bump it up to 30 minutes a day. He wants us to become better. He wants us to improve. He expects us to be profitable. So the point is to remain faithful over a few things, then chances are God will open up the doors to many things in return and reward. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, first and foremost, thank you so much for your Son Jesus, for sending Jesus on our behalf, breaking down the wall that separates us, taking care of the bondage of our sins on the cross. Thank you so much, Father. Father, I pray that we believers use this year to become profitable for you, that we take our spiritual growth to a higher level. In doing so, that may be evident to all people around us, that we demonstrate a Christ-likeness to all that is around us. I pray, Father, that we use the unique gifts and abilities that you bestowed upon us, and that we continue to, that we are mindful of what you have given us and continue to improve upon them. That it's all for your glory and not for ourselves anyway. But that we keep being profitable for you. That we cultivate the gifts that you have given us and share with others. Because it's not for ourselves. Everything that we do is for others. We are to be the light unto darkness. And I am thankful, Father, that you have given each of us a gift, an opportunity, an inner joy to serve your will. I pray that we continue to make our 2018 a year that magnifies you in all we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now at this time, offer one another a sign of peace.